To be sure, we live in a very self-centered world. It's a me, myself, and I kind of life that most of us tend to want to live. At least the culture around us does. So what kind of life does God require of us? Well, as we'll see today here in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, it's a sacrificial life. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, who continues his journey through Romans. We find ourselves in chapter 12 as we begin this final section of Romans, taking a look at the application of all that we've learned from Romans chapters 1 through 11. Join us for an encouraging look at the sacrificial life and how this is pulled off with great joy. Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
This should be helpful for understanding what Paul's doing in Romans. He says there, concerning the spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, he's addressing the Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. So he's dealing with this Gentile church. He's looking at them and he knows, he's addressing the spiritual ones. Corinthians, the church in Corinth, had a huge problem with the sign gifts. Big problem with the sign gifts. You'll remember they were fascinated with the tongues and the dreams and the visions and the tongue speaking that he would address in chapter 14, all of the sign gifts. And the prevailing opinion that began to develop in the life of the church was, you know, those who are able to speak with this inspired, ecstatic speech are the really spiritual ones. They're the ones who are the real spiritual elite. They have the communication from God. They've attained wisdom. They've attained the knowledge. This was a big issue in the first century. And so they had this continued problem in Corinth of a very worldly view of ministry, a very worldly view of gifts, all the way from chapter 1 where Paul is addressing this. The Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And so all of these things are being addressed in Corinth, and what had happened was the church had developed a serious problem with pride. And Paul's whole point was to argue and say, no, Corinthians, and I love to think about this, if you are a Christian, every last one of you is spiritual. Every last one of you. Now, I believe something similar was happening in Rome. Put Jews and Gentiles together, what do you have? Well, if the Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after knowledge, there's a real problem going on here. And there's no mention of sign gifts. I find that remarkable. Paul leaves out the entire category. Now, Romans was written after Corinthians. If that's the case, it's probably so that already it's demonstrating that the sign gifts were coming to a close with the end of the apostolic era. But it seems to be done on purpose to make a point that to view the gifts of some as being more spiritual leads to this kind of problem in the life of the church. We know what happens. Some hold up someone in the life of the church. Who should we hold up tonight in the life of the church? How about our professors? They're always good ones to hold. Josh is saying, don't do that. What do we think about our professors? Well, they're extremely gifted. I'm thankful for them. They serve an immense, helpful purpose in the life of the church, don't they? But if we're honest tonight, don't you think we have a kind of ladder? How would the ladder go tonight with regard to gifts and how we view people? We'd probably have the professors up high. Pastor, get the next step off the ring, right? Then you get the elders. And of course, below the elders are the deacons. And then you got all the lay people. Isn't that how we think? Of course that's how we think. We've got a chain. We think that there's the great ones, and then there's the little ones. And the great ones are doing all the great things in the kingdom. And I always loved it. Emphasize what Jesus emphasizes on the last day. Hey, did you give a cup of cold water in somebody's name? That's remarkable, isn't it? But notice what happens. We have this ladder, and we think, well, I have no responsibility with most of these things. I don't have the great gifts. I don't have the really superior gifts. That means that we're not the greatest in the kingdom. And so most of the work, most of the responsibility, let's say for teaching, falls on who? Them. And we feel maybe a little bit insufficient or lacking when some of you might have that gift and might be strong at teaching. Remember the lady Tabitha or Dorcas in the New Testament who was full of good works and she died? Every church has a Tabitha. I've seen this where there's one lady, I mean, she can cook for the whole church, and everyone stands and is amazed at that woman. Her cookies are phenomenal. And what happens? She'll do it. Can we keep going? It's interesting that Paul mentions in the list of gifts here. Did you notice what he mentioned? How about you have prophesying, teaching? How about in the one who contributes? Now, that's a remarkable thing that he would put giving in the gifts. Every church has those who are wealthier than others. And what's the common thought that goes out when the church has a need? They'll take care of it. They'll take care of it. Thus, we have the common report that 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Isn't that a tragic statistic in the life of the kingdom? And so we have a downward spiral. And both passages that deal with gifts are having us think, because of this mindset, and because then you have the problem of pride, and you have all sorts of things that follow this, there are all sorts of bad fruits and bad consequences that flow from this kind of mentality. If 10% of the elites are doing all of the big things, then what begins to happen? Well, you see the spiritual ones take on too much, and everyone else backs off, and the consequences are bad. Notice verse 4 tonight of Romans 12. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. That is the same point that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 12, that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There is different ministries, but remember what he said, the same Lord. There are all these diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. There are allotments of gifts, but the same Spirit. Do you hear it? And none are more spiritual. How we should view it, the distinctions in the body of Christ are there because the Lord has allotted and the Lord has poured out to fit together the body as one. And Paul says this is how the body functions effectively. This is how a church functions effectively, when every part does its share. And then you have a wonderful thing. It grows up together strong in edifying of one another in love. This is the consequence. This is the result when everyone learns to think this way. In fact, he will go on to say in 1 Corinthians, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And an eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. So in other words, when he pours out a gift in a certain way and gives somebody that gift, he's doing it to prevent something unhelpful or divisive in the life of the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Anybody know the account of Dizzy Dean? He was the ball player one of my favorite little stories to tell. He was the famous pitcher for the Cardinals. And as the account goes, in the 1937 All-Star game, Dean broke his toe fielding a grounder. Just a toe. And the injury continued to plague Dean throughout the course of his life, so that now he had to overcompensate in his pitching, and he ended up throwing out his arm and ending the career early. Now think about that. Because of the broken toe, he had to overcompensate elsewhere, and he ended his career. Well, God himself has diversified gifts among us, our individual members. All of us, he's going to say here, are given these gifts to complement and make the body function as a whole. Imagine if you're the toe and you're doing nothing. Do you see? So he says, think soberly about this. Think about the responsibility. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We tend to read that and think, well, God has given certain people more faith than others. That's not what he's saying. He's not looking at this quantitatively. He's saying this: all of us should evaluate how God has blessed you with a particular way to serve him with the talents or even opportunities in the life of his kingdom. And by the grace that you have learned and received, you should then put into practice these opportunities with the talents and gifts that he has poured out upon you. So notice how he's just knocked away the whole ladder, if you will. He doesn't want us thinking that way. And he recognizes that he has dealt to you. He wants everyone to think about, no, he's dealt to you, not the giants over there. He's dealt to you opportunities for presenting your bodies as living sacrifices to him. He's dealt that to you. You realize the Lord of glory himself, who when he ascended on high, poured out gifts, he dealt specifically to you, your name, these opportunities. I shouldn't deviate from my notes. My wife always tells me never to do that. But I want you to listen to Ephesians 4. I want you to listen to how the Lord dealt with this. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, you know, I've rehearsed this before, that the old King James puts a comma. To equip the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry. If that comma is retained, it means that the apostles, the prophets, and evangelists and shepherds were given to do the work of ministry. It's not the ministry. It's not the ministry. It's not the holy. In other words, it's not the ordained ministry. What he's saying there is this. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for serving. And we should never miss that. We are given to equip you for serving. And that's the beautiful perspective of this. So, notice how the apostle is addressing this tonight. It can't be the case. It destroys the idea that someone is a follower of Jesus and uncommitted to any kind of service in his kingdom. Because this is what he's poured out upon you. This is what he's allotted to you. This is what he's given to you. It doesn't work if you were to ask Martin Luther that question. How does, when he talked about good works, he remember what he said, that before faith is asked whether good works are being done, the believing heart has already done them. This is where you're going to be. This is what you're going to do. It's who you are. So notice this tonight. One part here, as we look at this whole thing, one part of the body should not ever compensate for the lack of somebody else. And I love how now the apostle addresses this. He rehearses two kinds of gifts: speaking gifts and serving gifts. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, use them. Use them. And then he lists several distinct gifts. In other words, I love this because it's not that hard. It shouldn't be that when we stand in front of the elders, I don't know what it's not hard. You can look at these and you can see. Look how basic this is. Look how simple this is. He starts with prophecy. If prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. The word means to speak forth. Paul is most likely, and I believe, speaking here of the gift of preaching. He's looking at the gift to speak truth on his behalf. And that doesn't obliterate the responsibility of you in daily life to speak truth. Or ministry. In other words, serving. It's the Greek word for the diaconate or diakonos, deacon. You know, you could think about it that way. That notice here, those gifted to be helpers in this regard, to demonstrate mercy. If you're called upon to do that, if you hear that and the Lord has given you that allotment of a gift, then step up to it. What a wonderful opportunity. You get to represent Christ's ministry of mercy to his people, his service of mercy. He, in teaching, there are those gifted to teach. There are those who, in the life of the church, we have a lot of opportunities with teaching in Sunday school. Many of you step up. And that's a wonderful thing that you get to use that for teaching. Notice how as he goes on here, and you can translate this in a few different ways, but let me get back to Romans chapter 12. So you have here teaching, and then he goes on. Just one second. He goes on. Having gifts differing according to the grace, let if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation. I love that one. The one who exhorts. What does that mean to exhort? It means to call to one side. In other words, it includes encouragement, warning, strengthening, comforting. There's a million people or young people you can go to and help and talk to and encourage and strengthen. And if you see them going the wrong way, talk to them. They need you. You have a million opportunities every day for this kind of way of serving. He goes on. See how basic this is? The one who contributes in generosity. You know, Paul even gave instructions to the rich. But that's not just for the rich, is it? Think of all the ways in which we can give. It's not the kind of application that just is a fine list of do this, do this, do this, do this. He wants you to take these general categories and work with them. Be wise. Discern the will of the Lord. Be discerning in what he's doing. You're not mindless. You see these things all the time. So he who gives, give with liberality. You have all these opportunities. He who leads, do it. He who's a leader in the life of the church, do it with zeal. In other words, listen, God's given you a great opportunity to lead the flock. The worst kind of attitude is, oh boy, I can't wait to get through my term and get back to what I got to do. That's not the zeal that he's after. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. You've got people here who need that. Finally, he ends with here, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Wow. He's going to go on and say there are a lot of people weeping in the life of the church. Weep with them. There are a lot of people who are joyful in the life of the church. Be joyful with them. You can demonstrate a real care about people in getting to know your body and being involved with them and loving them and serving in the little things. It doesn't have to be what we think are the great things. Well, I remind us tonight that as we look at this, the motivation tonight was the Apostle Paul motivating us to think about how good God's been in demonstrating all of these things to us. And he's never wavered. He's been relentless. He's never turned back. And think about how all of these things that you enjoy, he's shown to you and he's not wavered. He sent you preachers. He sent you those who lead you. He sent you those who provide and care for you, who show mercy to you, who love you. And now you get to go and live a kind of life, the privilege of living the kind of life that models his son. I close with this tonight. Remember the woman who came weeping after she had washed Jesus' feet with her tears? All the people criticized Jesus for allowing this filthy woman to touch him. Let me just read this and we'll close. And Jesus answered and said to Simon, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, You've rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. How great is the debt that Christ paid for us. And today he has said, Do we love? When we love, that's driven and motivated by an understanding of his love for us. So let us work while it's still called day, because the night is coming when no man may work. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we bow our heads tonight so thankful that you would give us a place in your kingdom. We think of these servants who only came in at a late hour, and they were so excited to be a part of your vineyard. And the servants that were there the whole time grumbled and complained. And tonight, O Lord, we bow the head and we are immensely grateful, and we praise your name for bringing us into your kingdom and giving us a place that you would care. You don't need us, but that you would care. Since the Lord Jesus Christ is raised to pour out gifts, that we, Lord, would demonstrate your love to your people. And so we pray tonight for every last one who's gathered, that they would carefully reflect on these opportunities that you've put in front of them. And that we, Lord, would give ourselves on the sacrifice and service of each other's faith, being poured out as a drink offering. Because we no longer belong to ourselves, we were bought and purchased with a price. Therefore, O Lord, may we honor you with our bodies as living sacrifices. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially, and most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.